Today's broadcast was originally recorded on August 4th, 2025.
Look, Republicans are trying to rig the 2026 election. They're doing it because they're trying to avoid accountability from the American voters. Their only path forward to avoid that accountability is to try to redraw these districts and steal these elections away from the American voters and their ability to choose who they want to represent them.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what they are doing. Let's stop them.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am... From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Elsewhere in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream on a whole bunch of streaming platforms and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. As usual, at the beginning of the week in the Trump era, or Trump error, depending on how you may look at it, there is a ton of news from late last week in through the weekend, throughout the weekend and into today, from Trump removing the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after the nonpartisan BLS reported dreadful jobs numbers for July and lowered previous estimates from May and June. Trump didn't like that, so he fired the messenger. And make sure that the next one he appoints won't make that mistake again, I'm guessing. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, run for 20 years by a partisan Republican appointee, tapped by George W. Bush, by the way, has announced that it will now be shutting down entirely in the wake of Trump and the Republicans in Congress cutting off all federal funding to NPR and PBS. Adjudicated sex offender and felon Donald Trump has ordered the Bureau of Prisons to waive the rules to allow his friend, the adjudicated sex offender and felon Ghislaine Maxwell, accomplice of Trump's other pedophile friend, Jeffrey Epstein, to be placed into a cushy club fed-style prison in Texas as she serves a 20-year term for helping Epstein to traffic underage girls for sexual abuse. And, of course, much more is going on, which I will try to get to as warranted on this show as the week progresses. But for now, I'm sort of shoving all of that aside, as it is now official. Democratic state lawmakers in Texas are right now, today, fighting for your democracy and mine. And frankly, that is true no matter where you live and no matter which party you are affiliated with, or even if you are affiliated like me with no party whatsoever, but you stand as a champion of democracy rather than partisan politics as usual. As we go to air, this story, which we have been giving you a heads up about on the show in recent weeks, continues to have a lot of moving parts today, parts that include you, by the way, and action by you, at least our listeners in California, You will now almost certainly be asked to take this action in the fall in about 3 months' time at the voting booth in response to what's going on today in Texas. We'll get to that as well. And I will look forward to taking your calls at 818-985-5735 if you are listening in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere across the globe via the kpfk.org web stream. Please note, we are in Fun Drive here at KPFK for one more week, one last week, and that's my flagship station here in Los Angeles. So if you call in today to speak to me on the air, please hit button number one when dialing in at 818-985-5735 to speak with me, or even better, never mind me, use that same number at any time, but hit the button number two to pledge any amount you can afford to help support the broadcast, KPFK, Pacifica Radio, and public media as a whole, as we all struggle to continue to do what we try to do every day over your public airwaves.
Yeah, and really, the radio station that you may be listening to our show on, to the broadcast, could use your help.
Yep.
So it's everybody is in this together, in this fight together, to help make sure that democracy is saved and that the public has access to non-commercial media that provides them with, you know, accurate information, which
what?
Is kind of nice.
What? That is kind of nice.
That's my opinion.
And frankly, all too rare. So back to our main story today. As reported by the excellent nonprofit media outlet, the Texas Tribune, on Sunday, with, as I said, many more moving parts into today that we will get to as well. But Democratic state lawmakers from Texas have fled the state as of Sunday in a bid to block passage of a new U.S. House map for the Lone Star State, designed to give the GOP five additional seats in the U.S. House next year. In other words, a map meant to take five blue seats from Democrats and hand them to Republicans next year. In other words, a bid to steal five U.S. House seats from voters, to steal representation from those voters for purely partisan reasons, raising the stakes, as the Texas Tribune describes it, in what is now poised to be a national fight over redistricting ahead of next year's midterm elections. The maneuver, undertaken by most of the state, the Texas State House's 62 Democrats, deprives the Republican-controlled chamber, at least for now, of a quorum. That is the number of lawmakers needed to be able to function at all under House rules down in Texas. That ahead of a scheduled vote on the draft map, which we described in our show late last week, just after Republicans unveiled this proposed new map in a special session of the legislature called for exactly this reason. Oh, and apparently, as an afterthought, to eventually get around to, you know, funding in response to horrific July 4th flash flooding in central Texas, in Texas Hill Country, that killed at least 135 people in the middle of the night, including dozens of young girls camping on the Guadalupe River, who were killed as Texas failed to properly warn those victims about the encroaching dangers. But as noted, apparently, dealing with that deadly tragedy is sort of an afterthought here, it seems, as compared to gerrymandering the state's already gerrymandered U.S. House map in advance of next year's midterms. That at the orders of Donald Trump and Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the 150-member Texas State House tasked with redrawing the map in the middle of the decade, which is wildly unusual, can only conduct business if at least 150 members, I'm sorry, at least 100 members are present out of the 150-member House, meaning that the absence of 51 or more Democrats can bring the state legislature's ongoing special session to a complete halt. Most House Democrats left the state of Texas on Sunday afternoon en route to the Chicago area. Some also headed to New York to meet with Governor Kathy Hochul out there. She has condemned Texas's mid-decade redistricting effort and entertained the idea of retaliating with new maps in the Empire State.
a third contingent of lawmakers departed for Boston to attend the National Conference of State Legislatures, their annual legislative summit, alongside some state Senate Democrats from Texas as well. It was not immediately clear how many Senate Democrats had also left the state, and the caucus did not indicate any plans to deny a quorum in the upper chamber, at least for now. Texas state rep and up-and-coming Democratic superstar in the Lone Star State, James Tallarico, in a video apparently shot on the tarmac at the airport, explained why he and his caucus are breaking quorum in the state in a post that was posted to social media, in which he described the GOP effort as, quote, cheating, plain and simple, adding, if they're going to cheat, we are not going to play.
This is State Representative James Tallarico from Texas. If you're seeing this video, my Democratic colleagues and I have just left our beloved state to break quorum and stop Trump's redistricting power grab. Trump told our Republican colleagues to redraw the political maps here in Texas in the middle of the decade to get him five more seats and protect his majority in Congress. They're turning our districts into crazy shapes to guarantee the outcome they want in the 2026 elections. If this power grab succeeds, they will hang on to power without any accountability from the voters. But Texas Democrats are fighting back. We're leaving the state, breaking quorum, and preventing Republicans from silencing our voices and rigging the next election. We are not fighting for the Democratic Party. We are fighting for the democratic process, and the stakes could not be higher. We have to take a stand.
That was James Tallarico, a state rep from Texas, explaining why the Democrats are leaving Texas in order to fight for Texas and, frankly, to fight for democracy for all of us. For now, there are just over 2 weeks left in the Texas legislature's special session, a legislature which only formally meets for regular sessions once every 2 years. In addition to calling this so-called emergency session, directing the legislature to draw a new U.S. House map and asking them to respond to the deadly July 4th floods, Governor Abbott has also directed the legislature to take on a number of other far-right priorities, such as stiffer regulations for consumable hemp. That's an important emergency, apparently. And contentious GOP priorities like cracking down on banning abortion pills and on bathrooms that trans people are allowed to use. The prospects for those items, along with the new redistricting maps, were immediately thrown into doubt as of Sunday by the Democrats' departure from the state. In a statement, the Texas State Democratic House Caucus leader, Rep. Gene Wu in Texas, said, quote, as of today, this corrupt special session is over. We will see how long state Democrats, however, can hold out. But from Chicago, Wu spoke about his party's decision to flee the state.
We did not make the decision to come here today. We did not make a decision lightly. But we come here today with absolute moral clarity that this is the absolutely the right thing to do to protect the people of the state of Texas. Yeah. Their attempts to disenfranchise Texans is being the tool they're using is a racist, gerrymandered map. A map that seeks to use racial lines to divide hardworking communities who have spent decades building up their power and strengthening their voices. And Governor Abbott is doing this in submission to Donald Trump.
Yes, he is. Democrats have excoriated the mid-decade redistricting plan, which, as you heard, was demanded by President Donald Trump as a political power grab that would unconstitutionally suppress the votes of people of color. But locked out of power in the legislature, thanks to the Republican Party's gerrymandered state legislative map, Democrats have few tools at their disposal right now to fight this effort, even as they promised to delay the map's adoption as long as possible and to use that extra time to educate Texans and indeed the nation on what they framed as an attack on democracy. And just to be clear, I frame what they are doing that way as well, what the Republicans are doing as an attack on democracy. They are rigging the map specifically to steal 5 seats from voters next year simply because they can, or at least they think they can, given that our corrupted U.S. Supreme Court has recently declared that federal courts may no longer have a say in partisan gerrymandering. In other words, according to SCOTUS, the party in power in state legislatures may gerrymander away for all the partisan gain they like. There's nothing unlawful about that anymore. Nothing unlawful, nothing unconstitutional, at least as far as the federal courts are concerned. Only state courts may have a say in the matter, even if for now, anyway, racial gerrymanders, separate from partisan gerrymanders, racial gerrymanders meant to prevent minorities, allow minorities to select a representative of their choosing, partisan racial gerrymanders, still remain unlawful and unconstitutional for now via the Voting Rights Act, though that too is possibly set to be changed very soon by our corrupted Supremes who have been tearing down the Voting Rights Act in recent years, piece by piece by piece. Late last week, the U.S. Supreme Court asked to ring in. They asked to ring in on a lower court ruling finding that Louisiana's U.S. House map, drawn in 2022 after the 2020 census, violates the Voting Rights Act after the original map had one majority black district in the state, despite the fact that black residents make up about a third of the state's population. A federal court ruled that that original map must be redrawn to include two majority black districts in 2024. That resulted in a map that was challenged by non-black voters as unconstitutional, calling that a racial gerrymander, despite it being carried out after the original map was found in violation of the Voting Rights Act and at the demand of the federal court system. But now, on Friday, last week, the High Court has issued an order asking for a briefing on whether the intentional creation of the second majority-minority district actually violates the 14th and 15th Amendments itself. If the corrupted, activist, Republican U.S. Supreme Court majority decides as much, well, it may amount to the final death blow for the Voting Rights Act at this point. The fact that the court itself has asked to hear the matter, that is not a good sign, at least as I see it. So, with partisan gerrymandering now apparently allowable under federal law and redistricting to allow minorities to elect representatives of their choosing now, as per the Voting Rights Act of 1965, now that is on the chopping block. Well, Republicans seem prepared to rig whichever state map that they can, that they can't win by, you know, having good policies that voters actually like. Instead, they'll just rig the maps. Back in Texas, preventing a quorum is a nuclear option for the Democrats that comes just before the map was set to reach the House floor for a vote on Monday. That has now been forestalled, at least for now. Democrats may be able to skip town long enough to run out the clock on the current special session. It began July 21. It can last 30 days, but the governor can continue calling lawmakers back for subsequent sessions thereafter. So how long they can stay out of the state, that remains to be seen, and it's now the subject to both financial penalties and potentially arrest of these lawmakers. And if you believe Texas's wildly corrupt Attorney General Ken Paxton, and wildly corrupt is an understatement for this guy, if you believe what he has to say, fleeing members are now open to expulsion from the legislature. And an immediately handpicked replacement by the governor, a claim that is being challenged by opponents as absurd, yet Ken Paxton. And by the way, it's Governor Greg Abbott, who has even taken things that Ken Paxton didn't say and pretended that he did say them about, you know, arresting members of the state legislature and
charging them criminally,
and expelling them from the House, and being able to simply name a replacement for these members. None of that is true. Then again, if there is no rule of law, then anything is true, isn't it? Texas House rules adopted by Republicans in 2023 after Democrats did the same thing in 2021 to block new extreme voting restrictions in the state at the time. Those new rules impose a threat of arrest and $500 per day as a fine on each lawmaker who absconds from the state, and they're not allowed to use campaign funding to pay those fines. At Sunday's news conference, the Democratic caucus chair, Wu, acknowledged the financial and personal strain the legislatures will face by staying in Illinois for a prolonged period. He noted that as part-time lawmakers, they only earn $600 a month. Quote, "We're all away from our families that we've already been away from for 6 months," he said, referring to the 140-day legislative session that just completed in early June. For a legislature filled with part-time lawmakers who keep other jobs while serving as state reps and senators. Wu said, "We've been away from our jobs. We've not earned a lot of income this year. This is not a decision that we take lightly." Among those fundraising to support Democrats is a nonprofit called Powered by People, a political group launched by former U.S. Rep. Beto O'Rourke from Texas back in 2019. The group raised over $600,000 back in 2021, the last time that Democrats deprived the House in Texas of a quorum to help cover the costs associated with that, with staying out of the state. And the group is again supporting this year's effort. National Democrats have also offered their support. In Illinois, the state's Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, a potential 2028 presidential candidate and billionaire himself, and his team are helping Texas Democratic lawmakers find lodging and meeting spaces in the land of Lincoln. Pritzker said Sunday, "We're going to do everything that we can to protect every single one of them." That, as several times criminally indicted Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton wrote on social media on Sunday, that Democrats, quote, "who try and run away like cowards should be found, arrested, and brought back to the Capitol in Texas immediately." Governor Pritzker responded to Paxton's threats from Chicago on Sunday himself as he stood with some of the fleeing Texas Democrats.
"We know they're doing the right thing. We know that they're following the law. It's Ken Paxton who doesn't follow the law.
Yeah, seriously.
It's the leaders of Texas who are attempting not to follow the law. They're the ones that need to be held accountable. They are attempting to cheat. And, you know, I think we all know Donald Trump is a cheater.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So is the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, in so many ways."
Yes, he is indeed. His wife recently left him. His wife, who's a Republican lawmaker, by the way. U.S. Congressman Mark Vesey of Fort Worth, whose seat would be largely dismantled under these new lines, noted at a committee hearing on Friday in Congress that his district was drawn by a federal court, quote, "to ensure the communities of color, black and brown Texans, could finally have a voice in Congress." As noted, Democrats left the state. We discussed it in an earlier show way back in 2003 over a similar redistricting plan in the middle of the decade that was carried out then by the Republican U.S. House Speaker and the later disgraced Tom DeLay. And as noted, in 2021, they left over voting legislation, but Republicans were able to pass those measures anyway when one of the Democratic lawmakers ultimately returned. Will they be able to stay away longer this time, even with the new penalties that have been imposed by Texas Republicans to punish them for doing so? We shall see. Abbott, Governor meanwhile, has sent a letter to each of the departed members late on Sunday informing them that he would attempt to have them removed from office if they do not return to Austin. He cited a non-binding legal opinion from Ken Paxton, who said it would be up to a court to decide whether a lawmaker who had left the state to deny quorum had in fact forfeited their office. If a court were to decide that the legislators had vacated their offices, Abbott, according to Paxton's wildly questionable opinion, would be then permitted to fill those seats with appointees of his choosing. I guess he could just, you know, put 62 new Republican lawmakers into the 62 Democratic seats if he felt like it.
Well, you know, that's what he would do, and that's some very real dictator stuff.
That's where we are. And that, for the moment, is what's happening in Texas and why I am so concerned about all of this. Outside of Texas, in Illinois, in New York, in Maryland, and elsewhere, Democrats are trying to help fight for democracy, helping the Texas, the fleeing Texas House members. In other words, this will affect the U.S. House majority chosen by voters next year. And that's the case whether you're in Texas or not, whether Democrats can win back the majority and essentially grind Trump's destructive authoritarian efforts to somewhat of a halt. Well, because of that, what happens in Texas right now very much affects all of us in the entire country and subsequently across the globe. It is for that reason that, as I've been discussing in recent shows in recent weeks, I've had to once again make the very difficult personal decision to support the idea of similar gerrymanders elsewhere, where possible, being carried out in other states to balance the damage that Texas Republicans, at the behest of Donald Trump, are now doing to the nation overall, or at least attempting to do. But as we discussed with author and gerrymandering expert David Daley on this program a week or two ago, Democrats do not have a lot of options here to respond, even as other Republican-controlled states may also pile on to what Texas is doing. In a race to the gerrymandering bottom, if you will, with Republicans now in Ohio threatening to similarly add two new GOP districts to their already gerrymandered U.S. House map, threatening to steal another two seats from Democrats. Apparently, Republicans are really, really concerned they are not going to be able to win, at least fairly, in 2026 for some reason. But Democrats, because they've spent recent years, correctly, I would argue, making map drawing fairer in many of the states that they control, for example, by adopting independent commissions to draw maps rather than leave it up to partisan state legislators, as they do down in Texas, well, Democrats have fewer options with which to respond. In New York, Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul on Monday, standing with some of the fleeing Democratic state lawmakers, characterized this fight as a war where regrettable actions must be taken for a greater good, at least in theory. She vowed to do what she can, but New York may not be able to establish new districts in their state until after next year's midterms, just because of the way the process for amending the state constitution is so drawn out, requiring two subsequent sessions to make changes to the state constitution. So the earliest that New York can do this will be with a gerrymander of their own, but it may not be until 2027. Hochul denounced the Texas Republicans, meanwhile, for redrawing their map, but she said she'd consider doing the same if they act, noting at a recent event, quote, "All's fair in love and war." I would add all's fair in love and partisan gerrymandering, apparently. Unfortunately, I agree with her. Now, even after spending years, like her, fighting for fair congressional districts everywhere, for all voters in all states, those days may be over. In Democratic-controlled Illinois, lawmakers can act right away, but the impact could be limited there because they have already tilted many of the state's districts in their favor in recent redistricting after the 2020 census. There are few opportunities to improve the Democratic prospects there because they already hold 14 of the state's 17 U.S. congressional seats in Illinois. Though Governor Pritzker said in a recent podcast appearance, if they force us, we've got to put everything on the table. And of course, I believe he is right, even if I hate saying so. Which brings us to California. And what I would love to hear from you, from my live local listeners about today at 818-985-5735 or anywhere else around the globe for those listening to the live stream via KPFK. California's Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, has said that he supports his state's commission, his independent redistricting commission here in California, which limits Democrats' ability to draw political lines as they see fit. That is the case, by the way, in Democratic-controlled states. California, New York, six other states have these type of independent redistricting commissions. The Democratic governor here in California, Newsom, says he supports that commission, which drew some of the most competitive congressional districts in the country after the last census here in California. But that independent redistricting commission is outside the control of the state legislature or the state's governor. It was enacted by voters via a constitutional amendment. It cannot simply be overridden by lawmakers or the executive, which is where you come in, and you may be asked to come in here very shortly. During a news conference last Thursday, Governor Newsom said that though he supports the commission, he favors having the Democratic-controlled legislature draw new maps temporarily and then ask voters to approve those that map through a ballot measure, most likely this November. So we're talking about, you know, 90 days, 3 months from now. Voters would have to approve that scheme to work around the existing state constitutional requirements by adopting a constitutional measure that, in effect, puts the Independent Redistricting Committee on hold, their map on hold for the moment, at least through the 2030 elections. So that's what would happen if Texas moves forward. That's what California claims they will do. Governor Newsom said last week, quote, "We're reacting to the president of the United States and Governor Abbott trying to rig the election." He said, "I'm not going to sit back any longer in a position, the fetal position, when in fact California could demonstrate, could demonstrably advance strength here." Newsom and his allies have also explored having legislators draw new maps without getting voter approval, but that plan, they say, is more risky. It would have to go through the courts. It could be shut down. So on Thursday, Newsom said he wants voters to have time to review the maps and decide on them through a transparent process, and said that voters should vote on these new maps and that they would only be in effect through 2030. And at that point, the Independent Commission would resume drawing maps following the census. So I am wondering how you think about that, especially our listeners in California. If you are asked to vote this fall for or against this plan to rewrite California's U.S. House maps, albeit only through 2030, would you be in favor of that? Or would you be against that? Would you be in favor of gerrymandering the state of California? Because right now, these maps, California could draw a map that allows Democrats to hold every U.S. House district in the state. Now, I don't like that idea. I really don't. I've spent my career more than 20 years fighting against this sort of thing. But guess what? Watching what is going on is disheartening. But you know what else is disheartening? A permanent House majority compiled by partisans with no interest in democracy if it means that they lose their grip on power. A Congress that refuses to serve as a check and balance against the worst excesses of an executive branch and the judiciary. A Congress that has now approved Donald Trump's criminal defense attorney, Emile Beauvais, to a lifetime seat on the federal judiciary after it was learned that Beauvais had instructed prosecutors at the Department of Justice to ignore the courts, to ignore judges' orders, to violate the law by committing contempt of court in doing so in order to advance Donald Trump's mass deportation agenda. A Congress that is standing by as the president of the United States is stealing money that Congress appropriated for health care, for cancer research, for the Voice of America, for legitimate, balanced, non-right-wing news over your public airwaves via NPR and PBS. And yes, I suspect they are targeting Pacifica Radio next, just as they said they would in Project 2025. As a president is violating the law and the Constitution to shut down the Department of Education, to gut our economy through unlawful tariffs against foreign nations, to cripple or shut down renowned universities, to cancel foreign student visas in violation of First Amendment free speech rights, to cancel wildly successful tax incentives that created a manufacturing boom in this country over the past 4 years for clean, renewable energy in favor of gifts to the deadly fossil fuel industry, and much more. And all of that forever if Republicans have their way in violating the plans of our founders for a democratically selected U.S. House in favor of a forever Republican majority U.S. House, thanks to computerized gerrymanders and a corrupted U.S. Supreme Court no longer willing to support either rule of law or the Constitution. So, yeah, I'm now willing to hold my nose and vote in favor of redistricting California, gerrymandering California this November, if I have to, in order to counter Republicans gaming the system to create a forever majority elsewhere. Are you willing to vote in favor of that? Because you're about to be asked to do so, it looks like. You will have to make that choice, as I see it, as early as the first week of November this year. Will you vote for or against gerrymandering California in favor, as I see it, of democracy? 818-985-5735 is our number. If you'd like to join me, you got to hit button number one to join me on air. As I said, we're in the middle of fun drive here, so please hit button number two if you can help KPFK stay on your public airwaves. Are you in favor of that? 818-985-KPFK. Let me know. I'm going to take a quick break here. We'll come back with your calls on that and whatever else is going on today. I'm Brad Friedman, 818-985-KPFK, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and The Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Hey, this is Brad. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bradcast.
It seems every day now, you hear people say now, look out for the cheetah, make way for the foolhardy clown. Look out for the cheetah.
Yeah, look out for the cheater. Welcome back. Welcome back to The Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. All right. Are you in favor of gerrymandering the state of California to counter what is going on right now in Texas as Democratic lawmakers there have left the state, 818-985-KPFK, if you're in our live Southern California listening area, or even if you are not, but listening live anywhere around the world. The governor out here in California is eyeing a special election in the first week of November to ask California voters to sign off on revised U.S. House districts that could boost Democratic prospects in the 2026 election. Newsom said this will be a temporary move just to counter Texas through 2030. He said, quote, "We will go to the people of this state in a transparent way and ask them to consider the new circumstances, to consider these new realities, since voters would have to agree to waive the state's independent, nonpartisan, bipartisan citizens redistricting district that we use in this state to try to be fair to voters, to try to respect all voters. Now, I'm afraid, as much as I hate saying it, maybe it's time we're going to have to do something else to fight for democracy, since, you know, if it's just a few states. Anyway, 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to David in L.A. County. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Oh, David.
Hello.
There we go. Now we got you, David. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. Are you in favor of, will you vote in November, if asked, to essentially gerrymander California?
Absolutely, 100%. We got to fight back.
Doesn't it make you feel a little bit dirty in doing so?
Yeah, it does. My wife and I were just talking about this morning. She's a card-carrying Republican. I'm a Democrat. We talk about the election every day. Every election we do, we compare our votes and discuss them and decide on a compromise.
Yeah.
And that's how it should work in the state, in the House, too. Mm-hmm. But this is just so wrong. What Texas and these other guys, these other states are doing is just so wrong.
Did your, since you talked about it with your wife, was she in favor of, would she vote in favor of gerrymandering California as a Republican?
Absolutely, 100% she would, yes.
Really? Interesting. Good
yes.
to know.
Yes.
I'd love to hear from other folks. We do hear from a lot of folks who voted for Donald Trump, who maybe have regrets now, others who don't have regrets. They're happy they voted for him. I would wonder if they, too, would be in favor of gerrymandering California, and if they're against it, why are they against it? Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the call. Give my best to your wife. Tell her to give us a call next time. Love to talk to her. 818-985-KPFK, Rochelle in Watts here in L.A. Hey, Rochelle, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hi there. Are you in favor of gerrymandering California in response to Texas?
Yes.
Why?
I'm in favor because what's the consequence? Is either we do this or we have to deal with Trump for 4 years.
Well, we're going to have to deal with Trump for 4 years anyway, even if Democrats are able to take back the U.S. House in 2026, I suppose they could move to impeach him, but the likelihood of getting a supermajority in the Senate to remove him. So you're pretty much stuck with Donald Trump for the next, 3.5 years, but who's counting? And yet, you want to gerrymander California to help win back the House for Democrats.
Yes, we need some type of power.
All right. Thanks, Rochelle. I appreciate that call. Let me go to Pam in San Bernardino. Hey, Pam, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Brad.
What do you think?
I think that we should do it. And I am willing to volunteer, even though it breaks my heart. But one has to fight fire with fire. We have an administration that has no respect for the Constitution or the law. We have 6 members on the Supreme Court mm-hmm. who were appointed by Republicans who has no respect for the law or the Constitution.
Yep.
And we have his minions who are so petrified of him mm-hmm. that if he said jump, the question would be how high.
Yep.
So the Democrats have to protect us. And if gerrymandering is the only way to do it, then so be it. And like I said, I will volunteer.
I gotcha. Thanks, Pam. I appreciate that call and that insight. I hate to say it, but I'm with you on this thing. But I am open to those who are not. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Jesse in L.A. Hey, Jesse. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, Brad, this is Jesse, and I'm kind of in the middle where you are as well. I said no when I first heard about this happening.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you.
Yeah.
That's probably no actual answer, but here.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if this if we do say yes to this
mm-hmm.
for us,
mm-hmm.
and what happens if Texas does it again,
mm-hmm.
and what happens if Republicans do it all over the country again,
mm-hmm.
are we going to say yes and do this again
yeah.
as well?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me it's a race to the bottom. It's a race to the gerrymandering bottom. And if I could think of another way around it, I would love to find it. I mean, I've been supporting ways around it for the past 20 years, but you can't have, you know, certain states, Democratic states, unilaterally disarming and allowing Texas to get away with what they're getting away with. It's an already gerrymandered map down in Texas, but it's apparently not gerrymandered enough. They want to steal 5 more seats out of it. So I don't know where all of this goes, even if California were to come in tomorrow and say, okay, we've redrawn the map in such a way that all 52 U.S. House seats are going to Democrats. If New York does that, Illinois does that, other states controlled by Democrats do that, and Republicans do the opposite. I don't know where all of that goes, but I do know at this point it has gotten so bad that it seems to me rolling over is no longer an option, that if you don't push back, these guys are going to just keep rolling. That's
right.
My feeling.
Right. And actually, it was not really so much an actual question answer, because
yeah.
we both know the answer to that, as you just said,
yeah.
on all of that. And how many are actually, do you know, are making the change to California if we do that? How many votes?
How many change? Seats could change? Is
yeah,
what you're saying?
If we do it, what's going to actually be the difference?
Well, Democrats currently hold 43 of the state's 52 House seats. And as I say, you can draw these maps to make sure that no Republican ever wins any district ever again, which in this case would mean picking up 9 House seats just from California alone. Illinois could do the same thing, pick up 3 more seats there if they wanted to. New York can't do it until 2027. But Democrats, if they wanted to, could push back and, you know, pick up just essentially steal 10 to 15 seats in 2026 just because of what the Republicans are doing.
Yeah.
Got
All
it?
All right. Well, just for that little note to give you as you like to receive all of these coming in. So just to let you
Thank
know
you.
That I guess I'm pretty much in the same place where you are, and we'll see what happens in 4 years.
Glad to have you in this place with me, Jesse. Thank you, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Roger in Minneapolis. Hey, Roger, we haven't heard from you in a while. You doing okay up there? Oh, Roger?
Very well. Very, good. Very well, Brad.
Good.
Delightful to be on the show.
Delightful to have
well,
you.
In reflection on our current situation, my friend,
mm-hmm.
Our constitutional democracy appears to be ruptured.
Yep.
And so what we face right now is some very uncomfortable choices. And unfortunately, brass knuckles, things like what we're talking about there, as much as they don't appeal to me, seem called for.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
The situation is so very, very much beyond alarming. And I'm wondering how our democracy will survive this autocratic moment. And here's my sense, Brad.
Yeah.
I think we will succeed.
I
think we will succeed.
I think so, too. I share your optimism in that regard, Roger. I'm worried about how many people will be hurt and devastated between now and the time that we do succeed, because this project, this Republican project, is so dangerous, is so counter to what the public wants. It's so counter to what exists in federal law and the U.S. Constitution. I do not believe this can stand. But it may be able to stand for a while. And like I say, a lot of people are going to get hurt between now and the time that somehow this nation comes to its senses. Well,
you and Desi are among the most important people that I can think of in the value of the work that you do to help keep me informed as well.
Thank you.
And you are very... much a national, international treasure for both of you.
Thank you, sir. And with that, I'm so embarrassed, I'm going to hang up on you. Thanks, Roger. Glad you're doing well up there. Enjoy the summer in Minneapolis. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Mimi. Is this our friend, Mimi?
Hey, Brad.
Mimi Kennedy. What? What are you? Chair now of Progressive Democrats of America? Something like that?
Chair Emeritus.
Oh, maybe. Like Nancy Pelosi Emeritus. I gotcha.
Please don't compare me to her.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hi, Mimi. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
You
in favor of this abomination
Jerry
of democracy?
Gerrymandering away. Brad, unless I'm mistaken, you were advocating for this years back, and I remember you struggled with it then, too.
Yep.
But you said, I think maybe we need to do this.
Yep.
And I thought, he is absolutely right. Nobody listens. When the ideas now come up, I keep thinking, Brad Friedman said it. We need to gerrymander away. You know, and I know, how long we've fought the various aspects of cheating. They've blocked almost all the exits back to democracy.
Yep.
Between the Electoral College and some of the other things that have happened about in red states, in these tiny states that have the same amount of senators we do, we need to start being smart about this. I say gerrymander away. And I hope the Supreme Court doesn't block it, but we need to start now.
And I will
otherwise, we're screwed.
And I will say that Mimi, for folks who don't know, Mimi Kennedy has been a longtime champion of voting rights for probably longer than me. And for her to be turning around and saying, yeah, let's gerrymander the state, I suspect she does not take it as lightly, and neither do I. But we're kind of running out of options, Mimi, at this point.
That's right, Brad. So thank you for promoting this idea. Again, we got to do this. And we still have an exit left, it's really important for the world, as you pointed out. And I agree with the caller who said you guys are an international treasure.
Thank you, Mimi. Bless you. We'll talk soon. Thanks for ringing in.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
818-985-KPFK. We've got just a minute or two for another call or two. Let me see if I can get to John in Panorama City. Hey, John, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay. You in favor of gerrymandering California?
Well, I've changed my position. It was yes, no. Now it's no and yes.
Okay. Yes and no, and now it's no and yes. All right. Explain that quickly.
Yes. Well, you know, it's ugly. It's undemocratic.
Yep.
But if the weapon is successfully used against Democrats in Texas, then we should, under those circumstances and those circumstances only, we should do it.
Yep.
So, but, you know, there's a new wrinkle, which is a Republican congressman from California has just introduced a bill in the House to federally ban all mid-decade redistricting. And I think we should all get behind that. But, of course, you know, it might pass.
In the U.S.
He's
House.
Doing it for self-preservation, but Trump may veto it.
Right.
So I think, you know, if we have to, we should do this ugly anti-democratic thing, but not unless it were absolutely compelled to save the country.
Yep. And I think that's just about where we are. Thanks, John. I appreciate that call. Appreciate your thoughts. Let me go to, do we have time? Very quickly, Larry in Pasadena. Hey, Larry, welcome to the broadcast. Quick, your thoughts on the question.
Okay, well, really quickly, I think we should go ahead and gerrymander, but then we should file a petition with the state, with the Senate, and ask and request secession.
Boom!
And just walk away from the rest of them and let them fall apart by themselves.
Wow! California to secede from the Union here in California, and
sure,
and become, by the way, the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world in the bargain. We give so much more to the federal government than we get back, and yet to hear these people bitching and complaining about California makes me want to
punch somebody. Absolutely right, and I think that this, we have a big enough bank account, we just walk away, say, you know what, you guys take care of yourself, and guess what, we will take care of ourselves.
Very good. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call. Do I have time for, I think, well, yeah. No. Okay. They're giving me the hook. Sorry about that. Sorry for the folks that we could not get to. Thanks for trying to ring in. We will continue this conversation in the weeks and months ahead. And yeah, we may have a new election coming up November 2nd or something like that here in California on exactly this point. We got to get out. My thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Wendell Handy, and of course, to all of you for spending your time with us. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, and you'll find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported thanks to listeners like you who stop by bradblog.com/donate.